Podtacular, episode 329, Countdown to Halo 4, for October 31st, 2012. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your co-host, Dav Link.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we are doing a show just to kind of catch you guys up on the happenings of what's been going on in the Halo Universe for this week. We'll probably do another show this week kind of to wrap things up, but we've had quite a bit of information come out over the last 3 or 4 days since we've recorded last, so wanted to kind of go ahead and get some of that information out there for you guys. A couple things popping up in random places. There's an Evil Awakens campaign going on, and we actually have something that's part of that campaign up on our site. So if you do a search for the hashtag Evil Awakens, you'll find some scattered images, videos, and other things kind of lying around about the internet. We're not exactly sure what that is for yet. There's been some speculation on GAF and HBO. I'm not exactly sure what all of them are, but there is that kind of campaign going on. Maybe we'll see something about it when the game releases, or maybe someone will crack the code before then. We'll have to see. As of this recording, the embargo is actually tomorrow as well, so when you're hearing this, it'll probably be today when the embargo is lifted, so you'll be flooded with Halo 4 information.
More than you ever wanted to know
yes.
before playing the game.
Everyone who has been trying to go dark for a Halo, you can either decide to not be dark anymore because it's going to be official. Everything, there's all the leaks, it's not leaks anymore. Everything is open for anyone to publish. So that's kind of
tomorrow.
Yeah. So November 1st.
That's stupid. The game's not out yet.
So there's always a 5 or so day window for media outlets to kind of get the reviews out and get their kind of ratings out for the game, going into detail and all that stuff. So that's the window. So if you're,
we could get reviews tomorrow.
You'll probably see reviews from Joystick or Kotaku or what other gaming websites that you frequent.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah, well, hopefully they won't pull a Medal of Honor Warfighter and not release the reviews till day one, right?
No, I mean it's kind of up to them. But yeah. if you're still trying to go dark until you get your hands on the game, you're going to want to stay off just about the entirety of the internet because it's going to be pretty dang hard. I know some people have suggested that you can implement Twitter filters and other things like that, but it's never a really surefire solution. So it just kind of keep away from places that you know would be talking about that kind of Halo 4 news stuff. If you're just staying dark because you don't want to be leaked anything, the embargo, probably when you're listening to this, has already been lifted, so you don't have to worry about it being leaks anymore. It is official. Everything out there will be official. Personally, I'm excited to see some gameplay stuff, multiplayer gameplay, campaign stuff I want to kind of witness on my own. There would be some kind of hinting at things that I would like to see, not necessarily kind of going into massive detail on campaign and Spartan Ops, but maybe little teasers of kind of what we will see. I wouldn't mind something like that. What are your guys' thoughts on how you, or what kind of information you want to see when the embargo gets lifted? Are you guys staying dark, or are you guys kind of on the edges like, oh, well, I'd like to see a few things here and there, but I don't want the main storyline of campaign or Spartan Ops spoiled for me?
Don't spoil the story at all. I mean, there shouldn't be any spoilers out there until the game's out, in my opinion. I feel like we already know so much. They already have that interactive guide. They've revealed all the weapons and vehicles. I mean, it's almost like we know a little too much, in my opinion.
Well, we know already a lot about multiplayer and the kind of the engine behind it, but we don't really know the story arc behind the campaign in the Spartan Ops. I think that's
we don't need to. I mean, nobody should know that stuff until it's out. I mean, it's
right.
It's kind of crazy releasing all that stuff before the game's even out. That's kind of stupid. Reviews. I'll take a glimpse at some reviews. Not read the reviews, but just maybe see like a headline or like a number or something. I mean, probably hopefully be like 9s and 10s and stuff, right?
Eurogamer gives Halo 4 5.0 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's always fun. I always wait for the Eurogamer review.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had the Eurogamer conference, what, 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Something like that?
Yeah, but Eurogamer is a...
I mean, yeah, it's a different thing, but...
It's a publication. I don't know if they actually have a magazine anymore or if it's just a website.
So is the Eurogamer conference not tied to the magazine then?
I think it is, but I'm just saying Eurogamer, the magazine or website, whatever it is now, traditionally gives games just low scores. Just for the hell of it. Which is fine with me. I don't really care about review scores. I like reading reviews that don't have scores attached to them. Just because, like, I actually have to read the review and I can't just, like, scroll down to the bottom and say, oh, 8.5 out of 10, good, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's Halo. I already know that I'm going to buy it, so, you know, reading these reviews isn't going to be a matter of trying to figure out if this is the right game for me to spend my cash on, because, I mean, I'm going to get it. Like, I'm going to buy the most expensive version. You know, the
limited
$99
edition.
One, and I mean, they've got my money whether or not the game, you know, gets a 60 on Metacritic or if it gets a 99.9. I mean,
right, it's Halo,
whatever. Yeah,
I mean, it's a game we all have come to know and love, and we're very passionate about being involved with that stuff.
Yeah,
so
as long as, I mean, multiplayer isn't completely ruined, I know that it's going to be fun for me, I know that I will get a lot of enjoyment out of it. Because I love Halo multiplayer.
Right. I'm excited to see what they're doing with Spartan Ops.
Campaign
is kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see kind of where the story of Master Chief goes along, like how, by what direction it takes and kind of how, what it's going to set the stage for the rest of the Reclaimer trilogy. But there's also Spartan Ops, and I'm wondering, because we have 10 weeks for the first season, and they keep on saying season 1, so that is undoubtedly saying that there's going to be multiple seasons of Spartan Ops. But we have 10 weeks, we have 50 episodes of Spartan Ops, and that's just going to be huge, that you're going to be able to come back on a weekly basis for at least 10 weeks and play these cooperative missions. I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with this whole episodic storyline. It's almost like a TV series.
Yeah, but it all depends on how much of it's narrative and how much of it's gameplay.
Right.
I mean, the TV series is constantly bombarding you with narrative. I mean, that's the point of a television series.
Right. Well, it seems like there's a decent chunk that is the CGI kind of episodic release that's a sizable chunk from what I hear, maybe like 7 to 10 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, but... And then you have the 5 missions that go along with that quote-unquote episode. So it's not... In that respect, it's kind of like a TV show, and then it's interactive in the fact that you actually go and play the missions. It's going to be interesting to see how people kind of accept that. I'm personally of the opinion that it's a really good idea, and I'm really excited to see what 343 has in store for that storyline, and I'm excited to play it.
Yeah, I think it would be a pretty good way to continue the story between Halo 4 and 5.
And it depends on... I think another big thing is whether or not it's really well accepted, will we see more than like 2 or 3 seasons? My guess would be, because the Spartan Ops teams are still working on missions, I'm sure. I'm wondering how much effort's actually taking to either... like develop new maps or create new scenarios, or how long it's actually going to take between this first season and then a possible second, because you don't want to wait too long for something like this, because then people will not really be attracted to it when it comes back out. So I would say maybe 6 months down the road. So maybe in, April?
Yeah.
April, May timeframe, we would see a possible second season.
Get the announcement at E3 that year.
Yeah, and by then we would have all the DLC packs. We'd have all the DLC packs by, May? We have one coming out in December, one coming out in February, and then one coming out in April or May, right?
Yeah.
No, one in December, one in February, one in March.
March? Okay.
No, it's April. No, it's, okay. it's every 2 months.
Yeah, so either maybe 2 months after that, or so a possible April, May timeframe release on the second season of Spartan Ops, I think would probably be ideal. Maybe a little bit longer than that because we have the multiplayer DLC, but I would not wait a year for a second season of Spartan Ops.
Yeah.
Because by then, I think a lot of the focus on Spartan Ops is going to die down. Unless it's just a huge storyline, in which case they might be able to get away with it. It really depends on how much story you get from the CGI sequences versus how much you get it during the co-op missions. So lots of stuff just to kind of see what happens when the game finally comes out and what happens down the road with DLC.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at this point, because it's so close that you don't want to speculate too much, because you know that people will be able to listen and a week later be like, nah, you were completely wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying not to get too excited about Spartan Ops, because I just don't want to go in with this huge set of expectations for it and then get disappointed. Like right now, I'm just going in completely like, I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. I hope I like it, but I don't expect anything. I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm going to try to stay away from reviews, you know, concerning Spartan Ops, because I want to start playing that after I finish the campaign.
Uh-huh.
And I also want to kind of create my own impression of Spartan Ops, you know, just playing it myself without having any pre-existing bias that I might have picked up from a review.
Right. And, well, that's going to be the way it is for campaign and Spartan Ops. Multiplayer, we've seen so much multiplayer stuff where if you like it, you'll love it already, and if you don't like it, you're not going to be playing it that much. There's been so much information out there about war games that you've already made up your mind by now.
Do you love crazy-looking armor? Then this is the game for you.
We'll get into that later. So there was also a trailer for Spartan Ops that got released on Waypoint either yesterday or the day before of this recording. And it highlights just saying that you have a chance to kind of go on, build your cooperative team, build your Spartan 4, kind of enhance them through the online co-op stuff. So that was pretty cool. It's taking tidbits from stuff that we've already seen before, and it's just kind of an official trailer to go with it. If you're interested in that, you can find it on Waypoint and definitely on YouTube. But the commander that's going to be in charge of your whole Spartan Ops career is Commander Palmer. You can look up some more information about her on the interactive guide. But she was recruited by Oni for the Spartan 4 project, and she looks kind of small for a Spartan, a little bit. I guess we'll see how that kind of compares up when we actually get into the game. I'm wondering if we're going to see her like in the missions, or if it's just going to be part of the CGI, the film noir piece of Spartan Ops. That's kind of one question that's kind of burning in the back of my mind. What do you guys think?
I
don't know.
If we'll see her on the battlefield other than just kind of commanding you through the helmet.
I could see her on the battlefield, right? Maybe she'll help you out in her Spartan suit, you know, sometime.
I'm not going to lie. Like, Commander Palmer as a character does not excite me, just from what I've seen.
It's more just like a story driver, for the most part, is what it seems like. I mean, who knows? She might have...
She doesn't, like... I'm not underwhelmed. Like, she looks all right as a character.
Well, it's more of kind of the whole character development side of it. So with the campaign, you have the time to really delve into the emotion of characters and how kind of they interact with one another. With Commander Palmer, unless the cutscenes are very lengthy and go into a lot of detail about her backstory, and I need to shut up my birds up here in a second, then it doesn't really seem like there's going to be much option for character development. In terms of like getting deep and kind of getting into her backstory and kind of like why she's doing what she's doing, how How did she get into her position of leadership among all the Spartan fours on the Infinity and all that stuff? So I'm hoping it's she's more than just a story driver, and that in some way or form we'll see kind of some character development with her.
Yeah, we'll see, huh?
So that's one thing from the interactive guide that I pulled. The other thing, there's a couple other things going on as well. We have a couple of new vehicles that we have not seen anywhere else before. And these are probably only going to be Spartan Ops and campaign-related vehicles. We haven't heard anything whether or not they'd be actually used in Forge. But this is something that we haven't seen before. So one of the new Covenant weapons is the Leash, or Leash. I'm not exactly sure how we pronounce it. It's spelled L-I-C-H. So take a whack at your best pronunciation. So it's basically a Covenant troop deployment vehicle. I'm not sure if this is going to be actually drivable by us. It's probably like the Pelican dropship, as like we would see in Spartan Ops or something. So it's probably just one of those extra vehicles that we'll see in the game. It's a replacement basically for the Covenant. Well, not necessarily for the drop, the Phantom. We still have the Phantom, but the Spirit, I think, is pretty much what it's replacing. I can't say I've seen this anywhere else in the Halo fiction before.
I don't know why they would even need the Spirit at this point.
No, I think they're trying to get rid of it. I think the only reason they put it in Reach is because it was in Halo 1.
Yeah, and the Spirit has kind of like a weird shape. It doesn't look very, what's the word? You know, because like all the
it's not sleek.
All the Covenant ships are very kind of round and like bulbous-like. Aerodynamic. Yeah, it's aerodynamic.
Bulbous. That's the coined term that people use everywhere. It's bulbous shaped.
Yeah, but the Spirit is so out of place because it's so straight and, you know, it's not round.
Yeah, I think this is the replacement for it because it can hold up between 30 and 40 passengers and has a plasma auto cannon attached to it as well. There's a secondary armament on there that just says plasma cannon. I'm guessing that's maybe one that kind of the ones the grunts mount on. I don't think this is going to be a drivable vehicle. I think this is just something we're going to see as basically a Spirit replacement in campaign and Spartan Ops.
But still, it's
interesting nonetheless.
Easter egg.
What's an Easter egg?
Like the Lich. Like they could do like with the Phantom in that
level and Reach. They could. Yeah. They could. That'd be interesting. I wonder. Yeah.
I mean, that Phantom just like, it was so fast. And like once you got it going, you know what I mean? It was hard to like stop it. It would just like kind of slide around and stuff. The physics are crazy.
Yeah. I don't think they really engineered the physics of that thing to be human driven.
Right.
Because the way you see it used in some of the cutscenes definitely seems a lot more maneuverable than how you could actually use it in Reach.
Right.
But yeah, maybe something to look at. A couple of new human vehicles. We have the Broadsword, and this looks like it's kind of like a saber replacement. I mean, the time difference is a little bit more extreme, but it's described as being used to combat enemy craft in low to zero G conditions. So it looks like we are going to have space battles. That would be my guess. What do you guys think about having space battles? We had them in Reach. I personally enjoyed the level very much. But what do you guys think?
The level was a little simplistic in its mechanics. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was necessarily like a jet simulator or anything. But then again, it didn't need to be for a Halo game. You know, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, you were just kind of fighting wave after wave after wave of Covenant, yeah. Where it wasn't really an actual battle of sorts. And that might just be partly due to that. Maybe that's how space battles would actually happen. But we've seen a lot more interesting stuff than that before.
if all the enemy ships, if more like troops or pilots, however you want to say, can just keep like slipspace jumping into the battle, I mean, when does it stop?
Right? I think another thing is because we have such a huge armada of Covenant there that there's going to be a lot more kind of frigate to carrier, that kind of thing, going back and forth between each other. So we might actually see a decent space battle for now instead of just waves of Banshees and Seraph fighters coming in from this one carrier / refueling station. So yeah. I would assume that if they're bringing space battles back, they've made some improvement to it.
Probably.
And the other human vehicle, which we've seen before, and it's been talked about, but it's kind of official now, is the Mammoth. It's basically the elephant replacement. We've seen it in a couple of cutscenes already. So Daft brought up a good point pre-show where it would be interesting if we could actually have this in Forge. I don't think the environments are necessarily big enough to have it in Forge, except for Ravine. I think Impact would kind of be a little silly, and Erosion just has so many tiers where it doesn't really make much sense. But I think Ravine, it would, depending on how big that cliffside edge actually is, I think it could be used in something like that. I would mainly think about seeing it in Spartan Ops and Campaign, though. I don't think we would see it in War Games. There's a couple of rail guns on it, hardened armor, and all that good stuff. What was the troop carrier in Halo Wars? Was that also the elephant, or was that something else?
I remember you can make elephants in Halo Wars.
Okay, so it was the elephant.
Probably, yeah. I think it was, yeah. Okay. Halo Wars, there were like so many new vehicles in that game. They're all like, a bunch of weird names. Like, wasn't it like the Badger and the freaking the Hawk and the this and the that?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
A bunch of animal names.
There were some more interesting vehicles in Halo Wars. But yeah, so this is going to be interesting to see how it plays out in Campaign and or Spartan Ops. Probably a lot more useful in Spartan Ops. Kind of like raiding a Covenant stronghold or something like that. So the other little thing that I was able to find in the interactive guide that we haven't really seen anywhere else, although it was kind of hinted in last week's bulletin when we saw the quote-unquote full list of Forge objects, is the game type Extraction. Now, what Extraction is basically there's some Forerunner artifacts that are kind of laying around on the map, and what you have to do is kind of go around and initiate an extraction process. And I'm assuming it's something like where on Dominion you have to like capture something and then fortify it. And as the extraction process happens, you have to defend the extraction point from and prevent it from being taken over by another team. So it's almost a play off of Territories or King of the Hill, where you have to go around, control something, and then at the end of it, after you have successfully extracted it, you get a point. There isn't any description in here of whether or not, like, how many points it is or anything else to the specifics of the game type, but it is something a little bit new. Dominion was kind of a playoff of Territories as well. What do you guys think of this game type? What's your first initial impressions?
My first impression is fear, because I don't understand why they haven't shown this off at any events, and they've just waited until basically release day to be like, yeah, this is kind of what you're going to be doing.
They can't give us everything.
Like, well, yeah, but I mean, it kind of seems like it might not be a bad game type, and they're obviously not going to put anything awful in their game, but maybe it's just like something that they finished up, and you know, looking back, it's not up to par with, you know, the other stuff that they had created. Like, obviously they're proud of Dominion. They've been showing off Dominion for a long time now. They're like, yeah, this is the Halo 4. I mean, this is the new game type for Halo 4, basically. And they really haven't said anything about Extraction. I mean, first thing we heard about it was in the...
In the bulletin last week.
You know, snuck in there. It wasn't even an announcement. It was just a Forge object that we picked up on. So hopefully it's fun. I mean, more game types, the better, but...
Will Extraction be the new Headhunter? Will Extraction be the new Stockpile?
Stockpile was fun. I enjoyed Stockpile. Now, Headhunter wasn't my favorite, but...
I liked it in the beta for some reason, but I did not like it at all in the final game.
But, I mean, you had fun in Stockpile games post-release.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Stockpile is different, yes.
You remember a good point, Dusty. I've heard from a few people that Halo Reach is one of those rare games where the beta was better than the actual game.
Yeah, it kind of does seem that way.
But then again, I remember like in the beta they had this one power weapon that they did took out for the final game called it was called Grenade.
The grenade was a little overpowered.
Tactical nuke. Right.
Yeah.
I want bouncier grenades in Halo 4.
I want the Halo 3 bouncy grenades. The Halo 4 ones.
You know they should just take like bounty ball physics like from real life and just transfer that to a grenade.
And yeah. I haven't really used grenades enough to really remember how bouncy they are.
I want like Halo 2 style bouncy grenades.
The Halo 2 and Halo 3, if I remember right, seem pretty similar.
The Halo 3 grenades felt kind of lighter than the Halo Reach ones. In Reach, it feels like you're lobbing this big like glob of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The grenades definitely look bigger in Reach.
I don't think you could get chip damage off of a grenade toss in Halo 2. That started in Halo 3, I think.
What do you mean?
You could throw the grenade and it wouldn't explode, but just the grenade hitting the Spartan would cause a little bit of damage.
Well, it did that in Reach.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I think that started in Halo 3. I don't think they had that in Halo 2.
I don't think they had it in Halo 3.
Because if someone like doesn't have like a whole bunch of health and their shields are down, you can kill them that way. You can like throw a grenade at them and the grenade just hitting their body will kill them, not the explosion.
Yeah, I know you can do that in Reach. I don't remember it specifically being able to be done in Halo 3.
You know, in Reach, I did this. I did something like that a couple weeks ago. This guy was running straight at me. I throw a grenade. It hits him right in the face, bounces off his head, and blows up like in the air, like next to his head. And so the grenade hitting his head damaged his shield, and then it blowing up in midair right next to him killed him. It was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty much everything from the interactive guide that we have. Daft, you said you need to leave?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being on. Sorry, it's kind of a little late, but
That's thank you, Daft.
You're welcome.
We got your input, and we will see you shortly. Hopefully, we'll have another show pretty soon. So.
Boy, tomorrow is Thursday.
Yep.
And Halo 4 is coming up fast.
It is.
You can't. Too fast. Oh yeah.
So.
I have good news. My mom said that I can stay home on election day to play Halo 4 and go vote.
Yay!
I early voted.
That's good.
I don't know. I think this is my first time voting, so I want to do the whole, you know, go to the polls experience.
It's not as fantastic as you might imagine.
Well, it's for the novelty of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait to do that, right? Go to the midnight launch and then come home and play Halo 4. And actually, I want to bring up one thing. So for the whole debate, what are you going to play first, campaign or multiplayer?
Yes.
I usually do campaign, but here's what I thought. I know there's like some people who are on the multiplayer right now, like people on the servers. But the masses, I want to get the game at midnight, come home at 12:15, pop it in, and start playing multiplayer right away because I want to be there for that like one time like ever where like the masses come on and everyone just is like basic, just assault rifle, pistol, grenade. Like everyone is starting out and everyone's like kind of equal ish. And because that's not going to be there ever again after that first hour, you know, 2 hours, whatever, because everyone's going to be ranking up and unlocking stuff. So I think it'd be interesting to, you know, look, we're all equal. We all have assault rifles and we're all noobs, right? So,
well, you won't be equal if you have all of that sweet Mountain Dew and Doritos double XP matches saved up.
A good point.
Well, that's just in terms of, like, experience you're making up. That's not, like, skill-wise.
Well, no.
I mean, you get the unlocks, I guess, a little bit quicker. So, yeah,
you can't quantify skill. I mean, you can, but, I mean, in terms of how fast your skill is increasing in Halo, you can't quantify that. But you can't quantify your rank.
Well, skill, you know, and you have all of
these
of
people. I mean, but part of ranking up in Halo 4 is, you know, unlocking weapons, unlocking support packages, things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you get there first, you're going to have an advantage that other people won't have access to.
It's not even like getting an advantage as far as my part. And, yeah, skill plays into a little bit. But it'll just be interesting to see, like, you know, everyone's starting out. Everyone's the first rank. We all just have the basic assault rifle, pistol, grenade. You know, no one's unlocked anything yet, really, kind of, you know, because that's never going to be there again because people are going to start unlocking stuff and then, oh, look, we're all different. Like, basically, the first hour is going to feel like traditional Halo where we're all starting out with the same gun.
Right.
It won't be like that anymore pretty soon.
Except Dustin probably won't lose his first 10 matches.
You're going to get matched up against noobs. It's just my first two or three. It's just my first two or three. Thank you.
So then I'll probably go on campaign a couple hours after multiplayer. I'm just going to stay up all night. And then just play all day.
I think I'm doing campaign first.
All right.
I'm doing campaign first. So I can get Spartan Ops done as well.
Now, for people like me who are planning to do, you know, an all-night Midnight Launch, Play Halo, Go Vote, Extravaganza, you play Halo all night, sure, but go vote in the middle of the day or the morning. You don't want to wait in line. Just a tip. And then you can go back and play your Halo in the evening.
Yep. Voting is important.
When everyone's waiting in line for hours. I mean, it'll be bad. You guys, I mean, be prompt about that, people who are staying home.
Bring Halo. Yep. Get one of those Xbox 360s that are like in a metal briefcase with the television inside. Yeah, take it to your polling place. Get people to play Halo and vote at the same time.
Rock the vote.
Rock the vote.
Rock the vote.
Go to the Brag polling the vote. Place with a Spartan helmet on or something.
I wonder if they would let you
Master
in.
Chief
like,
says
you come in
vote.
In like full Spartan armor. I don't mean like a prop gun, just full Spartan armor. And you like walk in and like not even the helmet's on. And you have your photo identification and whatever. You got your voter's registration card. You're like, yeah, I'm here to vote. Like, what would they do?
They probably think
they kick you out.
Yeah, they think you're probably some like voter intimidation, like militia guy or something.
They'd be like, Halloween was over 6 days ago, bro.
Yep. All right. Thanks again, Daft.
You're welcome.
We will see you in the near future.
Bye.
Bye bye. As for Britt and I, we go on to cover another somewhat small topic.
Jeff Keighley. Sitting in front of Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Not quite. It's close, but not quite. We actually have a trailer for Halo Waypoint. It's a lot of the same stuff that we've seen before with stats and everything. They kind of go over all the stats that you're going to get. You're going to get multiplayer. You're going to get the war games, Spartan Ops, campaign. You're going to get all those aggregated stats. And it's basically just officially announcing their whole stat tracking / Spartan record career and all that stuff, which we've seen in Halo 3, Halo Reach before.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a new developer this time.
Right.
I mean, traditionally, you've had
but,
to depend
I mean,
on
VNet. Right, but it's all the same stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, this is just like saying, hey, we're doing the exact same thing you've come to expect from Halo. Like, you don't have to worry about us watering it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you loved VNet, like all of the stat tracking from VNet, we've got that stuff too. So
we've got it too.
We're good to go.
Plus a little few extra things just because they have, it's a new game. They have new features. So they're definitely going to kind of cover that with Waypoint. A couple of the things to notice in that is that on Waypoint, I think this actually goes for the web and the mobile and Xbox versions of Waypoint. There is a barracks section where you can actually go and see which friends are online. You can send messages. You can do comparisons, similar like you could with the friends list on BNet. But they say you can send messages. And the Waypoint demo that we saw back, was it E3? We saw a video somewhere. I can't exactly remember where it is. I can go back and look if I really need to. But we had a demonstration of Waypoint being used to pull up someone like on a tablet or the website,
get a notification, and then be able to join in the game from Waypoint. Do you remember that, Brent?
Yeah.
It was at E3 showing off Smart Glass, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so yeah. So I'm not totally making this up.
They were anticipating the Wii U stuff, so they're like, Smart Glass, yay!
So we're going to see that ability to kind of interact more with Xbox using Smart Glass, and you'll be able to receive messages from your friends. You'll be able to, I'm assuming the whole joining someone, getting a request in on Waypoint and then actually being able to join them is going to be still possible. I don't know why they would announce that and then remove it. I guess they could for technical reasons, but my guess is that's still in place. It's not specifically highlighted in this trailer, but there's good reason to believe that that's still kind of there, kind of built into the barracks section. It also tracks your accommodations, your specialization. So since that's been added, it also tracks your progress in each specialization as you go along. It tracks your achievements, just as always. And then there's a new thing in there called personal bests. I don't know if this is just tied specifically to like stats for specific weapons or what exactly personal bests are. We really don't get a good glimpse of what it is in the video. What do you think this is? As far as I can think of what a personal best would be, is just like in a certain class of stats, this is your best thing.
Yeah, like the personal best, like killing spree or multi-kill, right? Or something.
Or like, what game did you have your biggest killing streak in?
Yeah, what was your highest KD ratio in this game type on this map or whatever?
Because there's something in TF2 that seems very similar to this. So there's things where, like with the engineer, I know you guys aren't necessarily Team Fortress savvy, but this is the best example I can come up with. But for like the engineer, you have a personal best for how many successful teleports you've had in one life. So, like, I know one time I had 35 successful teleports in one life. Something like that. So I would think it's kind of on the realm of that stat.
Yeah.
But I'm not exactly sure.
It doesn't sound too revolutionary. Doesn't sound like it's just going to be a huge deal.
No.
You're not going to be updating your personal best page, like, constantly. Like, have I done it? Have I beat my record yet?
Right. Well,
you're just going to be playing the game.
Yeah, it's like you said, it doesn't really seem to be any kind of breaking new thing. It just seems like it's another thing that they've added there.
Yeah.
There's also going to be domain terminals and the special Forerunner code. So if you guys have listened to a couple of our past shows, you've seen the symbols that have come out in some of the bulletins, some of the promotional emails, and a couple other things, and I think we have 7 pieces right now to this whole kind of code thing. And we're undoubtedly likely to find some more in the game. Similar how it was in Halo CE Anniversary. But any terminals that you unlock in the game will be unlocked on Waypoint, so you can view them online as well, or at least it seems that way. And the special codes... I think after this promotion, that's going to be one set that we'll have, a full set of 10. I don't know if that's going to be kind of split into two different codes, so we'll be able to unlock something there. And I'm also wondering if that's going to actually be collected before the game actually comes out on November 6th.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's going to be one special code left in, like, maybe in one of the inserts in the box.
The maybe. Last special code unlocks a video of Jeff Keighley unveiling the new Doritos flavor of the year. I mean, we've already had classics like Midnight Taco, and I don't even remember any of the new Doritos, but
I just know Cool Ranch.
If anybody
Ranch.
Can...
I just know Cool Ranch Doritos and then the regular original. Yes, I don't know what those are called. Those are the only two I really know of.
Nacho cheese and
Nacho
Cool
cheese.
Ranch.
Yeah, those are the two I know of, and that's about it. I know there's other ones out there, but I don't know what specifically they are.
I think they made a jalapeno Dorito once that I really enjoyed, and then they quit making them. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Anyway, yeah, so...
Yeah.
Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Actually, my boss had a orange Mountain Dew. It was red one.
Code
and
red.
So it was code red. And I saw the Halo 4 stuff on there. So I'm like, can I have your bottle cap? So I got a couple bottle caps from my boss today.
Give me those bottle caps.
Yeah, it's like, you're not going to use them. I'll use them. So I have a couple bottle caps that I can use for double EXP.
Yeah.
So it's going to be cool.
It's cool. I've got 12 matches saved up.
Yay.
Of double AXP. Double XP for me. Yay.
Awesome.
I get the battle rifle even faster.
The only thing is, when I was playing the game at New York Comic Con, I ranked up so quickly just by, like, after, I think, like, after 12 games, I was already Spartan rank 5.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to get past those first set of ranks.
Well, I'm ready.
And with the double EXP, you're probably, you might, I mean, depending on how good you are, you might even skip to Spartan rank 2 by the time you're done with the first game.
I wonder when somebody's going to hit the, I mean, when is the first person going to hit the level cap in Halo 4?
Ooh.
We need to take, like, a betting pool on it.
Well, when was the...
Friendly wager.
That's a good question.
Personally, I hope they just reset, like, everything. Like, the day before it comes out. Just be all these stats.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't delete the game records and stuff, but in terms of how it corresponds to...
Well, yeah,
your actual Spartan
your rank out.
Yeah, just complete. I think they need to zero out ranks on launch day.
I think I remember them doing that on Halo.
Or November 5th. I mean, you're going to have some people that get the game in like Australia that's 14 hours ahead of, or it's a little bit more than that, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Where they're actually going to get the game, it's actually going to be November 6th for them, and they shouldn't be backlogged of ranks and stuff. But I definitely feel that the Spartan ranks probably should be reset.
Yeah. I really don't care. To
me,
it
doesn't matter for custom games, because in the custom games, everything is unlocked.
Well, yeah.
It's just matchmaking.
It's custom,
it's not.
But...
Yeah, exactly. That pretty much wraps up this show, guys. We just kind of wanted to get a short update out there for you, kind of covering some of the stuff that has come out over the last few days. There's definitely a lot more Halo 4 information, but this is stuff that came up specifically on Waypoint, so we at least wanted to cover that for you guys. We have not gotten the bulletin yet as of this recording. I'm not sure if we're going to get one this week, because it's launching this week. If there is one, we will try to do another show for you guys, and we will definitely be doing a show for Halo 4 for the Dawn Part 5. So there's a possibility of at least two more shows coming out this week. If everything magically lines up, then we will have another show to talk about the fiction behind Halo 4 going back to the books, and then we'll have one maybe to talk about Halo 2 and 3 campaign leading up to the game as well. So if we have time for that, then we will definitely have more podcasts out there for you guys.
Oh yes,
indeed.
I can't imagine anything shocking coming out of the next bulletin, though.
We'll see.
I mean, it's so close to release, you know?
It is, but...
So close.
But, I mean, you do kind of think of how much do we not know yet either.
Yeah. That makes me worry, though. Like, what if we do know,
what if they announce
everything?
What if they announce the whole Space Battles thing? I mean, that'd be big, right?
Yeah.
So, I still think there's quite a few topics they could put a full bulletin out there. They're probably just going to do something like they did with CEA, where it's going to be a list of where the launch parties are. I'm assuming that will be in the bulletin at some point. I was planning to go to New York, but with Hurricane Sandy and everything, I may be canceling those tickets and just coming back home and attending the launch party at my local GameStop, since I did pre-order the limited edition copy at GameStop. So I may just come straight back home.
Everybody at your local GameStop should be informed of your status as an internet superstar, as a podcasting heavyweight.
You mean at my GameStop?
Yes, you should just tell them, like, right up front.
Well, I told the manager that of who I was, and he's like, yeah, bring some cards by if I was there.
Just make sure you, like, maybe they'll let you set up a pump tent, like, right inside the GameStop. Have your own little pump tent, and you can just
possibly
bring, like, a sleeping bag, spend 3 days there just waiting for Halo.
Well, I will be at Dallas, so I would be flying back Monday, the day before. So it's not quite like that, but if I'm back here in hometown, I'm supposed to be getting some goodies that I can use for a little something special. I can't really talk about it quite yet, but we'll see. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, you can check out our website, podtechnolink.com, and while you're there, check out our forums. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And I know our YouTube's been quiet, guys. It's the lead up to Halo 4. We are originally a podcast. We will focus on the podcast, and videos take a lot more time to edit. So it's just quicker for us to get the information, discuss it on here, provide some viewpoints for you guys, and then get the information out to you as quick as possible. So if we have time for videos, we'll do them. If not, then just kind of stay tuned to the podcast. If you have any questions about any of the stuff that we've heard tonight, or any other Halo 4 related questions, or anything specific that you have in mind for Halo 4, maybe you want to tell us that what you're doing on launch night, any of that kind of stuff, feel free to send us an email at submissions@podtechnolink.com, or you can use the big green button on our homepage where it says submit.
And remember, it is your duty as a member of Podtacular to point out any inaccuracies in the podcast in the comments section of this show.
Yes, which people do frequently. Yes.
Anytime we say something even remotely wrong, even the most ancillary of details,
call us out.
If we
call
get it wrong, just tell us.
We won't. I mean, we'll take the blame. Yeah. If we're wrong, we'll take the blame.
Gotta take the blame. We want to know when we're wrong.
Yep.
So, take that.
Lots of stuff to do on the flight tomorrow to Dallas. But thank you guys again for listening. Until next time, whenever that is, keep on fragging those trucks.
Keep on fragging Jeff Keighley.
Fair enough.